Thank you so much. I'm really nervous. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm an addict, and my clean date is August 2nd, 2010. So I am so grateful. I want to first and foremost thank the HACNA committee for, you know, listening to my speaker entry, and then Joe sending me a text letting me know that he would invite me to speak. And I don't know that I've ever spoken a workshop before, so my nerves are a little high. You know, the truth is that when I got here to the convention, I was very rattled. And I had a girlfriend, and I said, you need to be my caretaker. And so over the past couple of hours, I've been able to decompress, breathe in God, breathe out self. And I'm feeling pretty good about this. So when Joe told me what the topic was, I was like, wow, that is perfect. You know, because God always knows what he's doing. Always knows what he's doing. So page 5, higher mental and emotional functions, such as conscious and the ability to love, were sharply affected by our use of drugs. Living skills were reduced to an animal level. Our spirit was broken. The capacity to feel human was lost. This seems extreme, but many of us have been in that state of mind. And that describes my life and my history to a T. You know, sometimes you hear people say, yeah, you know, they're talking about me in this book. Well, this whole entire Narcotic Anonymous literature talks about this girl right here, Elizabeth. You know, it's because I'm a lady with some literature today. You know, you can't ever go wrong with the literature. So there was a couple of things I wanted to mention. You know, I have to research, right? I have to learn. You know, this is a textbook for learning. So, oh my goodness. So, you know, I try to carry my literature with me. I see people carrying their literature. I love coming from the literature. And so, you know, you hear higher mental and emotional functions, and you're like, oh yeah, I know what that is. But my sponsor always taught me to find out what that really means. You know, what is it really talking about? Because I can come up with all kinds of definitions. So in regard to mental functions, that is our awareness, our thoughts, how we sense things, and it has to do with our reasoning, right? And emotional, give me a second, talks about emotional functioning entails the experience and expression and regulation of positive and negative emotions. When I got to Narcotics, long before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, so I'm one of those addicts that believes that my disease was present long before I picked up the first drug. You know, our literature also talks about being cut off from the sharing experience. You know, and that was me. And to some point, I'm still cut off from my emotions and even my mental functioning at numerous times of the day. You know, I fall short in that. I used to always joke and say I was a slow learner and a quick forgetter. Somebody told me to stop saying that, right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop saying that, you know, because I want to speak kindly to myself. So my thought processes were askew, if you will, maladaptive. I didn't have the ability or the capability to reason things out. You know, I was not aware of oftentimes what was going on around me. You know, they say, I've heard, you don't know until you know. Right? So I was acting on all these behaviors and thoughts and you know, everything was askew, and I just did not know how to deal with life on life's terms. And that started at a very early age. You know, and I'm not going to tell my story up here, but it's part of my story. You know, everything was dysfunctional. You know, it says in the literature that we were misinformed, right? And that's my story. And the more I used, the more those things were affected. I was cut off from the sharing experience. I didn't cry. I don't think I laughed very much. I didn't know how to cope with situations that came up in my life, and I always turned to drugs. You know, because drugs and alcohol changed the way I felt. You know, it kept me from feeling these feelings that I was feeling. And so through my life, you know, I used until I didn't want to use anymore, and I used some more. You know, and I shut myself off from the sunlight of the Spirit. You know, I was isolated and desperate in the end of my addiction. And it was only through Narcotics Anonymous that I began to get an understanding of who and what I was and what I was made of in here. You know, I had a sponsor that was very kind and patient, and she still is, you know, with me. And that's what I needed. She's also pretty abrasive, you know, and I needed that too, you know. You know, she told me how the cow ate the cabbage, and I didn't necessarily like it all the time. You know, so through doing some step work, and I made some notes because, you know, I'm short-minded here sometimes. So, further on it says our spirit was broken, living skills were reduced to an animal level. That's my story. You know, it didn't start out that way. You know, everything was great and good, and I was thought I was living the dream of my life, and I felt like the queen bee, you know, through all that substance use and all of that drama that goes with it. You know, I felt like that was the highlight, you know, because I never felt like I mattered, you know. And I have to bring this up, you know, if a cute guy paid attention to me, I thought I was all that, you know, and he changed the way I felt. And so I did a lot of work on that, you know, when I first got here. I did a lot of work on that. You know, it talks about changing people, places, and things, and I had to do that all the way around, like a double 360-degree turnaround, you know. What else? So when I got to Narcotics in this time, my spirit was definitely broken. You know, the gift of desperation was something that I desperately had. You know, people say, how can desperation be a gift? You know, regular people, right? But for me, it's a gift because when I feel desperate enough, I'm willing to make a change. You know, I've heard it said before also, too, that when the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, we change. You know, and that's where I was this time. You know, I still struggle with emotions. My mental functioning, my cognitive processes, the way my awarenesses, all of those have awoken, if you will, right? You know, and it talks about a spiritual awakening, you know, having had a spiritual awakening through the results of the steps. And so through working the steps, I've had a spiritual awakening. And my mental processes have gotten better. They're not all the way better. There's a lot of work to do. I still got a lot of work to do. You know, it's progress, not perfection. So I'm going to talk a little bit about emotions. You know, I'm still cut off from my emotions. It's very difficult for me to feel my feelings. You know, I wish I could be one of those people who watch that sad movie and they could cry. You know, that's not me. You know, when events happen that are devastating, I still can't cry. You know, I may get a tear in my eye. Now, I know what it feels like to be happy, joyful, grateful. You know, I know that. But when it comes to expressing that through a deeper kind of emotion, I'm not able to do that yet. You know, but it's coming, right? It's on the horizon. You know, I remember when I got the first tear in my eye because my son stood me up on his birthday. You know, I called my sponsor and I was like, oh my God, I've got a tear in my eye. because it was a breakthrough for me. Because what I said earlier was that I was cut off from the sharing experience. Don't cry, don't talk, don't tell. You know, that's how I had to grow up. You know, I was ashamed and afraid, full of fear. You know, fear was that corroding thread that wove its way through my life and still does today in some areas. You know, right now I'm dealing with my son. There's a lot of fear, you know, because of my history with him. You know, because I want him to like me, right? And so this is coming from my heart now, not from the book, right? And I'm getting away from my notes and I'm just sharing some things that are coming up for me. You know, there's some fear going on with that. It's hard for me to express my emotions to him. You know, Carl said earlier, you know, oh, maybe you're just alive. And I was like, yeah, we are. We're always bumping heads. I said, I need some rubber bumpers. You know, I need some rubber bumpers because it's getting painful. So, you know, I said this. We were constantly searching for the answer, that person, place, or thing that would make everything all right. You know, and that was me through my whole entire life. Like I said, if the cute boy or whatever, any boy, I didn't have to be that cute. You know, any boy paid attention to me. I was like, I felt like I mattered. You know, he did not have to be that cute. So I lived that way through my whole life. You know, my clean date is August 2nd, 2010. I think I said that. And I feel like I've learned everything I ever should have known my whole life in the past 12 years. You know, I've learned so much about myself and about life. You know, and how to deal with life. And it was only through working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. So I wanted to go to another page. And so we realize, page 91, we realize that old feelings and fears are symptoms of our disease. Real freedom is now possible. You know, and that's the way it is for me. Real freedom is now possible. It's taken time to get to this place, but I'm not as fearful, and I'm not as afraid, and I have a sense of freedom every single morning that I wake up. You know, they told me a long time ago not to forget where I come from. You know, and I did that on numerous occasions. I forgot what it was like the time before. Well, I'm not confused about that today. You know, I know where my addiction will take me. And I don't ever want to go back there again. So, you know, the next sentence talks about we gain a new outlook on being clean. You know, we enjoy the feeling of release and freedom from the desire to use. You know, the freedom and feeling that freedom. You know, I feel that freedom today. You know, I express it in gratitude. You know, by doing service work and helping the lady at the grocery store or picking up a family in the pouring rain. You know, trying to make it back from the school bus stop. You know, I don't just extend it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm allowing that to feed into other areas of my life. So, recovery becomes a contact process. We lose fear of touching and of being touched. We learn that a simple loving hug can make all the difference in the world when we feel alone. We experience real love and friendship. And I found that here in Narcotics Anonymous. Somebody's going to have to keep track of time, because I'm not.
Oh, I am.
Fear of being touched and touching and a loving hug. You know, I didn't get a lot of hugs, you know, when I was growing up. And then as I grew up, I got a lot of hugs that I didn't really want. You know, and I just had to take those hugs for various reasons. Many of you can identify. You know, there's some trauma history in my life prior to substance use and after. a lot in my addiction. So for somebody to hug me in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I was a little standoffish. My girlfriend's not here, but, you know, when I met her husband, he was like trying to be my friend. And I was like, well, I can't talk to you. I got to go, you know, because I was real afraid. I was afraid of I was afraid of using. I was afraid of getting involved with something that would create a relapse. And I know that that's a relapse is a choice. But I can lose sight of my recovery real quick. And so I had to really, really focus on that. So I wanted to go to the flat book too, real quick. I marked some good pages in here. And I wanted to go to the fourth step real quick. And it said, the fourth step is a method for learning about ourselves. And it is much about finding our character assets as it is about identifying the exact nature of our wrongs. The inventory process is also an avenue to freedom. We have been prohibited from being free for so long, probably all our lives. Many of us have discovered as we work the fourth step, our problems didn't begin the first time we took drugs, but long before, when the seeds of our addiction were actually planted. So as I stated before, you know, I do believe that my addiction started long before I put the drugs and alcohol into my body. I was always searching and seeking attention, you know, because I never felt like I mattered, right? So I needed you to pay attention to me so I felt like I was worthy of something. It's not that way today. I've come a long, long way. You know, I was able to look, you know, I didn't think I had any character assets. You know, that's the hardest question when you go on a job interview, right? What are your strengths? You're like, what? You know, and today I do have some strengths. You know, I'm compassionate. I'm loving. I'm caring. You know, some of that emotional capacity has returned. You know, sometimes I'm too loving. Sometimes I'm too compassionate. Sometimes I'm too giving. And I think that still goes back to my inadequacies. You know, not feeling good enough about myself. You know, a lot of, you know, trying to make people happy. And sometimes you just can't make everybody happy all the time. And then it kicks me in the face. So I'm learning. You know, I'm learning how to live life in a new way. You know, how to respond and not react. You know, how to step back and be quiet, you know, and listen. And that's not easy. I had two people tell me today in a situation with my son, you know, they saw my character flaws in that. And you know what I told them both was, thank God you're my eyes and ears. Because we are each other's eyes and ears in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, somebody gave me a cup, she don't sugarcoat shit. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I need you guys to do that to me too. Because this is about saving my life. You know, it's about saving your life, Risa. It's about saving your life, Heather. And I need you guys to tell me that. You know, because I want y'all to help me save my life. I want you to help me move from acting out into acting in, if you will. You know, doing the next thing right for the right reason. You know, I was extremely selfish. So maybe now I'm too overly selfish. And I want to welcome my sponsor to this meeting. And I'm so grateful that she's arrived. Because people love me today. And that hadn't been the fact through my addiction. You know, I abandoned everything I ever loved. And those people are back in my life today. You know, so out of the flat book, still again in step four, I wanted to mention feelings, because we're talking about higher mental and emotional functioning. And I was saying that, you know, our ability to feel, You know, it was lost for me. I didn't have the capacity to feel. And I do today. You know, I may not express it with tears, but I feel it and it's there. And I love that, you know, because y'all gave that to me. You know, you gave me the ability to be open and vulnerable. You gave me the ability to be willing to be vulnerable. My sponsor sat with me on a fourth step, you know, and just with me because I could not say the things that I needed to say. I was afraid of judgment. You know, we don't get that in Narcotics Anonymous. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. We love you. You know, I heard a speaker say one time, you know, no matter where you've been or what you've done, I got you. You know, and I'm able to, if people share some stuff with me, you're not ever going to hear it again. You know, it doesn't go out there. It stays right here. Because that was given to me and I want to give that back. You know, so feelings. We want to examine our feelings for much the same reason that we want to examine our resentments. It will help us discover our past and our own lives. In addition, most of us have forgotten how to feel by the time we got clean. Even if we've been around a while, we still are uncovering new information about the ways we've shut down our feelings. You know, and so as stated, you know, I had to begin to learn how to identify what my feelings were, right? I didn't know. You know, I had to get a feelings chart, right, with the happy, sad, joyful, whatever, disgusted, dissatisfied. You know, I didn't know what those were. I couldn't have told you what I was feeling when I got here. You know, today I have an understanding and an idea of what that stuff is. You know, I know when I'm disgruntled or frustrated or anxious. You know, as I said, when I got here today, I was so anxious. And not because of this, because some other life on life's terms stuff were going on with my kid. And I said, I need you to take care of me for the next. I need you to caretake me. You know, I need you to help me move through this, you know, so thank you. So my life is really good today. You know, I'm facing those fear and recovery. You know, I'm moving through the steps. You know, I've worked this round of steps and I've just begun another round a few months ago, not steadily working on it. But I am actively participating in my recovery on a regular basis. You know, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous this time, I had a black garbage bag full of clothes and I was standing in a motel that charges $10 an hour. And I was paralyzed with fear. And I knew exactly where I needed to go. Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and since that 12 years ago, I have listened to learn and learned to listen. And I have taken suggestions and I have done the things that were suggested and required. I don't believe that these things are suggestions anymore for me. This stuff is a must if I want to stay clean. It is an absolute must. And I'm so grateful to say that I dropped out of nursing school in 82 and went back to college after 35 years. And in December, I'll graduate with my master's degree in social work. And it's been a struggle. And some days I'm like, who is that girl? You know, who is that? You know, I just keep pressing on. That's what y'all taught me. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know, and I have a host of people that support me and that love me, you know, until I could love myself. You know, so I'm really, really grateful to be here. Thank you all for coming and listening to this workshop. And I'd like to turn this over to this beautiful lady here to share her experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
Hey, family. I'm an addict named Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Ooh. My clean date is March 24th, 2017. I got here through this to this convention by way of not the traditional way. I know the traditional way is they have you send in or submit, you know, one of your tapes or whatever. That wasn't my story. Diane seen something in me, you know what I'm saying? And she advocated for me, man, to be here at this convention. And I remember the phone call that I got, and it was like, Kim, would you like to come down to Houston and share? And I was just so honored, man, you know, that she seen something in me, you know, that sometimes I don't see in myself, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Diane. My sponsor was not able to make it to this convention because she had some family stuff going along, but I look out in the room, man, and I got so much support here. Thank all of my St. Louis family, man, for coming to support me. I'm a crybaby. And this, speaking of mental and emotional functions, you know, I remember a time where I used to beg or want to cry and couldn't, you know, talking about the emotional, you know, function. And this, I had it on my phone. Can I see your book, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't travel. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
And Who's an Addict? That's where this come from. And when I got this topic, I was like, oh, damn, why you give me the whole topic? You know, higher mental and emotional function, you know. But so I went to the literature, you know, and she, you know, gave me the, you know, the chapter and the paragraph where I could find this at. So when I first, I was like, you know, I stopped at the higher mental and emotional function. But I said, Kim, read a little further. You know what I'm saying? So you can grasp the whole idea of it. You know what I'm saying? So it says higher mental and emotional functions such as conscience and the ability to love were sharply affected by our use of drugs. Man, if that was not my story, I didn't always grow up. I didn't grow, not always, I didn't grow up, period, being able to express my feelings. You know, I was the only girl. I had two brothers, you know, older and a younger brother, you know, and I had that middle child syndrome. So I was always, you know, shut down, you know, not heard. So I didn't always know how to express myself. And then when I came in touch with drugs, that just numbed and suppressed the feelings and everything even more. You know what I'm saying? Just, I say I could remember wanting to cry and couldn't cry. You know what I'm saying? When he talks about this mental, I'm like, well, Kimmy, wasn't nothing wrong with you. But how I was, you know, misinformed, how I was delusion. I was like, who, if you wasn't crazy, what was you? You know how my mental was affected. I had a two-bedroom home. Didn't want to go to it. I would rather sleep in a vacant house. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought I was going to miss something. If that ain't crazy or insanity, what is it? You know, a daughter begging you to come home, but couldn't leave the block, man. You know, when it talks about this mental, it goes on to talk about a conscience. You know, I didn't even know what a conscience was because I didn't care about hurting the next person. As long as I could get one more, whoever came in my path, they could get it. You know what I'm saying? And that was the honest to God truth. I didn't care who, what, or when. What can you do for me? What I got to do and send me on my way, period, point blank. But today, you know what I'm saying? We're working these 12 steps and living the principles in these steps and traditions. Man, I have grown a conscience today. I care about how I treat the next person, how the next person treats me, how I'm viewed today. And I never had an idea, man, when they tell you, you know, that people are watching you in this program, I had no idea. And it ain't just the newcomer. It's my predecessors. Man, I had no idea that Diane was watching me. You know what I'm saying? Man, so I do care and I do have a conscience today. Man, he goes on to talk about living skills was reduced to the animal level. It said our spirit was broken. The capacity to feel human was lost. The capacity to feel human. I was just existing. You know what I'm saying? I was just straight in survival mode. Man, should I say, and to come in and, you know, get, you know, you was talking about the awakening of your spirit. And they talk about, you know, jails, institutions, and death. And it ain't always got to be a physical death that they talk about, man. I was spiritually dead. Just like I say, walking around like a zombie. You know, you go, man, I'm not confused about what the drugs is still out here doing. Only thing I got to do is walk out the door and you see like zombies walking up and down the street. That was me. And I have the sympathy and the empathy for the newcomer. If anybody knows me, I'm passionate about the newcomer. I don't need the newcomer to know that the dope is still out there doing what the fuck it's supposed to be doing. It's an addict man from St. Louis. He say, you never forget the hell that brought you here. Hmm. So I got to remain vigilant, man. Woke. I remember March 23rd. The day before I went to treatment, man. Praying. You know what I'm saying? Was just tired of being what I was, man. Did I say? And I had that moment of clarity. Then and only then was I able to, you know what I'm saying? The cloud was lifted. You know what I'm saying? And I was able to see a little clear. Man, I ran my ass to treatment. And here I go, man. They talk about, you know, in recovery and relapse, you know, about a relapse being a more, you know, vigorous application afterwards. I lost 4 years, but I couldn't understand the reason why I lost those 4 years. But now I know, you know what I'm saying? Because I came back and I jumped into the willingness had to be there. And only until then did it start to work for me. I had got the honesty and the open-mindedness, but until I applied the willingness to go along with that, it didn't work for me. It wasn't gonna work. I had to be willing to do something different. And when I got rid of all the drugs, as I say, when I talked about this moment of clarity, you know what I'm saying? And I can start to feel, you know what I'm saying? And gain a conscience and all these things that it talks about in here, who's an addict, and get some identification, then that's when it started working. It's like the skies opened up and the beam of light came down and whoo! Then did it work.
Come on, girl.
Cause I thought, you know, I talked to an addict. And, well, it just takes willpower. I didn't have that emotional function. Willpower? What the fuck is willpower? Willpower ain't never kept me clean. Not never. Cause I remember sitting in the dope house. You know what I'm saying? Wanting to get clean. Didn't know how. When they talked about using against your will. Come on. What the fuck is willpower then? I remember, man. Try to say. They talk about the animalistic. You know, the ability. Try to say the simple day-to-day activities, you know what I'm saying? Not wanting to, before I could even, you know, get up and bathe or do the simple task of brushing my teeth, washing my face, I had to fix. They talk about this obsession and compulsion, you know, that vicious cycle, the hamster on the wheel. Man, I say, oh my God, I just, man, what this program has done is it allowed me to feel today. It's allowed me to care about the next person. And I remember, that's not a good place to be in, man, when you just out like a dog eat dog. That's not a good place to be. It wasn't a good place for me to be in. Because I know that ain't who my higher power intended me to be, man. But I stay here, you know what I'm saying? And I continue to pull these principles out, these steps, and I'm being restored, man, to the person and the child that he's always intended for me to be. Ain't nobody wake up and say, God damn, I want to be a dolphin. I know that wasn't my aspiration. You know, but for whatever, you know, what we blame it on, you know, our childhood and, you know, oh, I ain't get enough motherfucking hugs, you know, or whatever the reason. It's not a good feeling, man. You know, and for whatever brought us here, I'm just grateful that it did.
Right.
I quit even asking the fuck why. Just thank you. Just having the grace and mercy just to see fit, man. And I'm not confused about it today. You know, that he didn't clean me up just for me. Man, I know that I was here. I've been sent here to help somebody beside myself. To get outside myself. And that was never Kim. I say, when they talking about the self-centeredness being the core of our disease. Man, and I don't know if it was disease or just the Leo in me, but it's always been about Kim. Shit, it still is on most motherfucking days. I just got to be honest. And I got 5.5 years clean. Shit, it's always about Kim. Still. But you know what I'm saying? I work these steps though, but I can help somebody today. You know what I'm saying? Whereas in the past, you know what I'm saying? It was about Kim and fuck everybody else. But that's not who I am today. It's still about Kim. But what about the still suffering addict? And it's not always the newcomer. Mm-hmm, I can be the still suffering addict on any given day. So I continue to show up, man, so y'all can help me and I can help y'all. Man, they say a simple hug. You know what I'm saying? I heard you, Elizabeth, you know what I'm saying? Talking about the hug. I ain't want a motherfucker to hug me because I thought something came with it. If I give you a hug, what the fuck I gotta do? Nah. Just stay the fuck away. You know, that was my defense mechanisms. You know, I said, Kimmy, and I was always saying, you ain't got no heart. You like a dude. You like a man. That was, you know, and I know that ain't who I am. I'm a very loving and caring person. But that was the shit that I learned in the street. I had to keep a motherfucker at bay so they wouldn't know that, goddamn it, I don't want to come here and tell y'all that, yeah, I'm the scared little girl, you know what I'm saying, who sit up and cry at night, you know what I'm saying, because I'm alone. Or because, you know, I feel my mama loved the boys, because she always told me that I should have been a boy. You know, I don't want to come here and tell y'all that. But I can come in here, you know what I'm saying, and get the help that I need. And I got to be honest about the help that I need, man. I can't come in here and tell you my toe hurting when it's really my ass. I come here and share it to my toe. I'm going to walk out the door, my ass still going to be hurting.
get to the fucking exact nature, man. Cut out all the bullshit, and only then did I start to get better. I start to feel. I start to be able to help somebody beside myself. The conscience starts to grow. What a person thought, you know what I'm saying, about me, you know, or how I felt about somebody else. Man, I got grandkids today, you know what I'm saying, that loves that yaya. I ain't a granny. I don't know who that person is. Yes. Okay, you be the granny then. I'm the yaya. Shit. I'm too motherfucking hot to be a grand. And it's a love, man. It's a love, an unconditional love, man, that I never thought that I could feel. You know, my daughter say, where's the mama that, this ain't the mama that raised me.
Come on.
Oh, no. Shit. I done my job. Now it's just to spoil and give them whatever the fuck that they think that they want. Man. You know, and I tell you, when I was talking about the being confused, you know, I used to think, oh, thank you, you know, God, for cleaning me up for me. And I'm not confused. You know, I didn't know. That these kids was gonna need me, man. He knew. My daughter's still in active addiction, man. The state came in and took these babies. And I'm helping, man. When they say it take a village, oh. Man, but he knew. You know what I'm saying? He knew that I was gonna have to be nurtured back. You know what I'm saying? Into this loving and caring person. He knew that these grandbabies is what they was going to need. And he's giving it to me, man. I can look at them, you know what I'm saying, with no strings, man. And I know how they feel about their yaya. Man, that's a love that you just can't, you know, it's just no words. I didn't never think that, man, I could feel that type of love. You know what I'm saying? Because just like I say, anytime a motherfucker talk, they wanted something. It came with some conditions. And unconditional love is the best love that you can have. I know that today. And I try to be that person as well. Don't get me wrong. I judge. You know what I'm saying? Not as much as I used to. I'm getting better. But I talk about a motherfucker with they country ass. I will. But I'm getting better. You know, and just like I say, and I know I'll continue to get better as long as I keep coming and do the work, man. This the work right here. This the blueprint. Can't go wrong, man. And I'm just glad that, you know, I'm able to, you know, show up for not just myself, but for, you know, the newcomer, the still suffering addict. You know, I say, I went, who would have thunk? Not thought, who would have thunk it? You know, man, I'm just grateful to, you know, being able to, you know, live two lives in one lifetime, man. And when y'all tell me, man, I ain't never got to use again just for the day. This addict say, that's more than a notion. That's more than a notion, man. I don't want to ramble. I don't want to dilute the message. You know what I'm saying? I feel that I've carried the message to the best of my ability. I want to thank you guys again. Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Thank you for seeing something in me. Thank Hackner, man, for having faith in me. He told me, he's like, yeah, Diane said that Kim had, he's like, well, where are tape? No, she ain't got no tape. But she got 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Give her a shot. Thank you. Thank you for the shot. Thank you for the shot. Thank you. Thank you again for allowing me to share. I'm acting.
Thank you, Kim. Good job.